Welcome to the Natural Lifestyles Podcast with your hosts, James Marshall and Liam McRae, where we will be diving deep into the issues of modern masculinity, seduction, dating, lifestyle design, sexuality, psychedelics, you name it. This is the Natural Lifestyles Podcast.
Today's question is about charisma. Woohoo-oot asks, what is charisma and how can I develop it? It seems like it's an important thing to be charming, not only in seduction, but in general with people. Charisma is many things. It's a very complicated and nuanced field that isn't an exact science because it's relational. It's to do with how people feel around each other, which can't exactly be measured. It's very subjective. One person could seem very charismatic to someone, and to someone else they could seem totally abrasive and rude. Or someone could seem very charismatic, and to someone else they could seem really shy or weak. You know, it's a lot to do with our own projections of what we're charmed by. That's where the word comes from. Charmed and charisma have the same base. So a lot of it on some level is to do with the technical aspects of how you communicate. The things that we teach in our workshops, like strong eye contact, having a voice that doesn't always go up like a question, you know, when you're just trying to sound like you're friendly, and making sure that you have a commanding voice that goes downwards like this. So there are those technical aspects of charisma, but today I want to talk about like the inner game of charisma, which is how you feel about yourself and the effect that has on the other people around you, how you make them feel. So the more that you are yourself, the more that you give other people permission to be themselves. And that's a really huge piece because it means that your embodiment and your energy affects the people around you and they experience a physical effect, their mirror neurons in their whole psychosomatic system relax and release some of the tension that they used to hold in. So many people walk around holding tension in their bodies constantly because they're trying to fit into this box that society puts them in. You know, at work, they have to be the yes boss. Oh, hello, yes, filling out the forms and oh, saying hello to the secretary. And then, you know, at the supermarket, they have to say yes, flyby's card, they have to be that person. And then maybe when you're at school, you have to say yes, teacher, and you have to raise your hand. And of course, all those social conventions have purposes, but the problem comes when people are only those things and they're not able to naturally express their intuitive reaction to a situation. They're processing it all through what should I be doing, as opposed to what am I feeling right now and what's my truth in this moment? What's my authentic expression? So I think that's why celebrities are so iconic and people fall so much in love with them. Like, it doesn't have to be Kim Kardashian or whatever, you know, like reality TV stars. It might be a famous rock musician like Jimi Hendrix or Jim Morrison. Or it might even be like a politician like Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton. The reason these people are engaging but also polarizing is the amount that they're able to express whatever their authentic truth is. And of course, you can debate whether politicians are really being authentic or not, but part of their job is presenting an image of a certain energy, is presenting an archetypal expression of something that other people aspire to be. Like musicians and rock stars, they make great music, but people really idolize them partly for the art they create, but also partly from what they embody. So it's like someone like Jimi Hendrix is embodying free-flowing expression, you know? Someone like Eminem, the personal effect he had on me was, it's okay to be angry and to have aggressive, violent thoughts and to be someone who feels frustrated by the world sometimes, you know, because we all feel that. We're creatures who came from a very violent tribal past, and millions of years of evolution has basically left us with this imprinting of violent impulses. And it's a testament to society today that that most people manage to live in peace, but we still have those energies inside us. And, you know, when Eminem raps about like chopping up people with a chainsaw, it's like, and that he also raps about his pain. He's so vulnerable and he's so honest. He's not just saying, I kill people. He's also saying like, I feel things. And these are the reactions that I have. So people feel like, what if he made me feel okay about my fucked up emotions, about my darkest, craziest thoughts, my like weirdest violent fantasies? He allows people to say, okay, I accept that part of myself. And then there's other energies, like, for example, the 80s rock and roll stars like Motley Crue or Kiss with the giant hair and the leather. Their charisma comes from the fact that they're embodying this sex, drugs, rock and roll thing that people are like, oh, what if I could be like that? What if I could have the freedom to swing my guitar on stage and the ability to walk how I want with a certain swagger and to command a whole audience of people to say, "Wanaho," and then the whole crowd sings along. That's a charisma that people are drawn to. So What can you learn from this? I mean, does that mean you have to become a politician or a rock star? No, but it's about being able to take away what are the elements of those people that people are drawn to. And I think one of the main ones is self-acceptance and a pure self-expression, including the risk of being judged. Because politicians know they're gonna get shit thrown at them. Rock stars know some people are gonna fucking hate them. Newspapers are gonna write horrible stories about them. Eminem knows that, you know, family groups are gonna get together and say that he's the one who's ruining society or whatever. And that doesn't stop him expressing his truth. And that's a message that we can all take and think, like, what if I lived fully my own values without constantly moment to moment having to adjust and shift and, you know, mold myself into this kind of shapeless person that I think other people want me to be? What if I could just actually stand the way I want to stand, feel the way I want to feel, say the shit I want to say, you know, express the intentions that I want to express, whether that's anger or even if it's positive ones, even if it's, you know, I want to show appreciation for a beautiful woman. I want to laugh loudly at my friend's joke when we're in public. You know, I want to give someone a hug because or even tell my family how much I love them. You know, these are all things that can become something that we repress in ourselves for fear of being judged. And I think being charismatic is embodying that freedom to express yourself, because it makes other people feel like they then have the permission to do it too. The people around you are like, maybe I can laugh how I want. Maybe I can say what I want. Maybe I can tell people I love them without fear. You know, maybe I can give someone a hug if I feel great. Maybe I can give out a compliment to a stranger. Like, why not? And I actually wrote down three homework missions when I was thinking about this for you guys to start thinking about how can you be more charismatic. So the three charisma hacks that I have for you today. The first one is becoming more socially free. Social freedom really means living your truth and accepting that people might judge you, but prioritizing your truth above your fear. So it's not about destroying social fear or getting rid of social anxiety or not giving a shit what people think. It's about caring so much about your authentic truth and the expression of that, that you prioritize that much higher in the hierarchy of your values than you do about what other people think. So of course, I care what people think about me or all around me now who are watching me doing this video. That's an element. I'm not gonna like take a shit right here and just be like, oh, I don't give a shit, I can do what I want. I'm not gonna pull out my dick and start jerking off or start yelling like a monkey because I don't care what people think. But at the same time, if the thing that I wanna do is create this video and express my truth right now, which is sharing the insight that I've had today, that takes a way higher priority in my mind than what this guy over here thinks of me, you know, what this old lady over there thinks of me. I care a little bit about that, of course, but it's like so much lower than this. So how can you embody social freedom? Simple things like putting yourself outside your comfort zone a little bit each day. So literally try this tomorrow. For 20 seconds on your way to work, just stop in the middle of the street and just do this. And just take 5 breaths. And as soon as you do it, you're gonna start feeling all kinds of weird reactions in your body. And that's the social fear coming up, trying to protect you. And that's not a bad thing. Those voices and those energies in your body are there to allow you to adjust to the situation you're in. They're trying to help you, you know, cause a scene. But this is when you come back to, wait a minute, I don't know any of these people. The consequences of me doing this for 20 seconds is literally zero. I'm gonna do it because I wanna be someone who learns and practices how to be in this receiving end of judgment when I do express myself and just deal with it. So that's the first one. Just literally do this mission. That's a social freedom mission Shay Matthews made up recently, and I think it's brilliant. Because it's so simple. It's like our arms are here, but suddenly they're up here and all kinds of shit goes through your head. Like, well, I shouldn't be doing this. Oh, can I really be a guy who holds my hands in the air? People are gonna look at you and wonder why you're doing it. So it's a subtle change, but it really makes a huge impact on your own neurology and the people around you. The second piece of social freedom is being a better listener. Now, what does good listening actually mean? It means leaving space for the other person to talk. A lot of people think good listening is going, yeah, uh-huh, okay, I hear what you're saying. All right, so you're sad about this. And that's actually interrupting the other person's flow and not giving them the space to express their truth. So again, remember, charisma is about partly how you make other people feel. If you make other people feel like you're actually receiving what they're saying as opposed to just repeating back everything they say and talking the whole time, then you give them the sense that they're important, even if it's just for that moment. And everyone wants to feel that on some level. So you're actually raising their value. You're actually making the other person feel good, even momentarily, just by giving them that extra 2 seconds of conscious, active listening where you're not doing anything. You're just receiving what they've said and allowing them space to share. That's a really primal thing. Like on Maslow's hierarchy of needs, I think that's on the second tier. of the most basic things that we need as humans. And one of them is just feeling appreciated. Little simple things like that, feeling appreciated. And even if it's just a momentary thing, that's a powerful gift that you can give to someone. I actually heard a story about Bill Clinton. And again, this is not to do with whether I agree with his policies or Hillary or whatever. We're talking about charisma here. We're talking about someone's ability to influence how they make other people feel. And there was a journalist who got in a lift with Bill Clinton and another lady. And he said by the third floor, Bill had already found out where that lady grew up and how she felt about that place as opposed to where she was living now. And he was just making small talk. But that's the beauty, right? In a 10-second elevator ride or a 30-second elevator ride, he was already able to give someone else an opportunity to share. He was already able to allow them an opportunity to express an emotion that they're kind of bottling up and for them to feel like they have permission to be themselves a little bit. So that's really the power of that charisma, is you don't actually have to do anything. You have to give the gift to someone else. It's not that you're trying to impress them and show you, like a lot of people think charisma is being smooth or cool or saying the funny line. A lot of it is being your authentic self, including your flaws, saying the things that you think, even if people are going to judge you for them, and letting the other person share and making them feel like they're worthy, making them feel like they have value, giving them a moment to just express themselves. And that's a really rare commodity, because not a lot of people can actually do that. Not a lot of people are able to listen in that way that really makes someone feel special. And if you can start to do that, imagine how many beautiful women right now, either single or they're dating guys who they're kind of like, they think he's all right, but he doesn't really make them feel opened in that way. He doesn't really make them feel appreciated. That's, if you can combine the powerful effects of, you know, being someone who's clear about their intention and isn't ashamed of their sexuality, but also with the sensitivity of someone who's able to appreciate someone, that's a really powerful thing. That's a very rare combination, because usually a guy's either like a great listener and sympathetic, but not aggressively in touch enough with his sexuality to make a woman feel turned on. But it's like, if you can make her feel turned on and appreciated, that's a really powerful combination. So the next last piece, which ties back into the whole better listening thing, is I wrote down smile more. And I guess what I want to say about that is be aware of the way that you use your reactions and your smiles and the impact that has on people. Because when I started first doing coaching with James Marshall, I was way high energy. I would be doing this video like this and talking really fast. Like, oh yeah, cool, smiling a lot. Like the crazy guy. And that, there is a certain charisma to that, that people are attracted to, because they do see the intensity of your self-expression and your ability to just be loose and not be locked up, you know, not be tense. But what James showed me was there's a limit to how much people want of that, and you need to balance it out with being still also, because otherwise you make the other person feel unsettled if you're too erratic and crazy. So you need to balance that out with being silent, with not smiling too much, with creating social pressure and inviting the other person in a way, putting a slight amount of social pressure so they feel nervous but excited to share with you. Then the smile means so much more. So I went from the extreme of this. There was a period of time where I was too much in the other direction. And there's actually a video online, one of the interviews I did for the 21 convention, the first one, and it's so creepy. I look like a fucking serial killer because I'm not smiling at all. I was trying so hard to be this serious guy that I was like, oh yeah, I'm very happy to be here. That's not charismatic either. That's just like me holding tension in a different way, trying to be this other character. But what I realized is I need to stop smiling as a way to release social pressure because I'm feeling nervous, and start smiling because I'm feeling the genuine, authentic emotion beneath that. The feeling of appreciation of this funny looking dog. Hello, little dog. Oh no, he's scared. Okay, so now I'm smiling because I'm feeling what he's feeling, you know? And then when I'm listening to someone, waiting till they actually said something worth smiling for and then smile. That's when it really means something to the other person, and that's where it feels charismatic, because then they get to go, wow, I said something, I shared something for myself. I told them about why I like this film, or I told this person about what I'm excited about in the new year, or even I told this person something that I thought was funny and they smiled. And it's like, yes, that just that little moment of me sharing something and being appreciated for it, being rewarded by the other person. But you only create the power to give those smiles if you're not smiling all the time. Because if you're smiling all the time, then it really means nothing, because you're just giving this fake thing, and and it just feels like you're nervously trying to make the other person like you, which is not charismatic at all, because... So coming back down to being in your center, not smiling all the time, and then when someone says something funny and you smile a little bit, it means so much more. And then the more extreme end of that is combining social freedom with smiling. The first one and the third one. That's what I do when I'm interacting with the world, especially with new people who I don't know yet. So I walk into a shop and I used to be like thinking that I would be sort of like invading their space, or I would feel uncomfortable about smiling because I often felt a block around smiling. I didn't want to look like some kind of, I don't know, whatever it was. I started getting over it in the last 5 or 6 years ago. I started to realize, like, why don't I just fucking smile all the time? It's literally free, costs me nothing, and it makes me feel good. They've actually done studies that show that physiologically, if you change your body language and you change your facial expression, it can have some kind of effect on how you're actually feeling. As crazy as that sounds, like, obviously if you're like suicidally depressed and you're walking around like this all day, everything's fine. That's a little bit extreme. But in a more small example, if you're sitting at your desk and you're sitting there like this all day and you just got a scowl on your face and you're holding muscle tension in your face, you're actually sort of training your body to connect those muscle memory movements with the levels of dopamine or whatever that gets released in your brain. Whereas if you sit up straight and you smile as you're doing it, you can actually change your state physically and emotionally. So I do that now when I walk around. When I walk down the street, I'm just smiling at everyone, like, hello, hi. And I imagine like I'm a 5-year-old kid who isn't afraid of being judged and is just so excited to be out in the world, just learning how to read, learning what type of dog is that, mom? That's why kids are so charming. There's so many videos on YouTube of like kid playing in the bath, or two children fighting over a toy and then hugging at the end. Kids playing with puppies or something. Part of the reason people like watching that stuff is because they like the freedom that the child has. They're like, I remember what it felt like on some level to be that vulnerable and that fearless to just express myself. And they're like, what if I could get back into that energy? And that's actually one of the intentions that I set when I'm coaching guys, is I'm like, I want them to return to what it felt like when they were 5 years old and they were able to just express themselves so much more purely. So social freedom to risk being judged, but smiling at everyone, and actually smiling when you go into the shop to order a coffee, you can say, hi, how are you? When you walk down the street, go, hello, give people a compliment. Nice hat, cool shoes. And then when you're meeting anyone new, just give them a big smile, because they're probably feeling on some level just as nervous as you about meeting a new person. And if you give them a warm, genuine smile, it really allows them to open up. It breaks down the barriers. And even James does this. James is not a super smiley person. He very rarely smiles. But when he meets new people, I notice he always goes like, how you doing? I'm James. And he consciously creates a little bit of a smile because he's putting out that energy, because he knows the effect that'll have on the other person is dropping their guard and allowing a human connection to start to be being built, instead of like a fucking negotiation where we're both not smiling and sizing each other up and seeing who's the fucking... Ugh. So make that your goal this week. See how much more you can smile than you normally do and start to notice the effect it has. So that's my summary. Charisma is how you feel about yourself, how much you're able to allow other people to be themselves by you expressing your authentic truth. And the three homework missions are do this social freedom mission, pause more when other people are speaking, and smile more and be aware of how much you smile. Thank you very much for your question. If you have another Ask the Naturals question, post it in the comments below, and I'll see you guys soon.
Thanks so much for listening to the Natural Lifestyles Podcast. Check us out on YouTube at The Natural TV. See you on the next episode.